Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
To talk Browns football, hard pivot. To talk Browns football, not sister kissing. We've got Nick Shook of NFL Network on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nick, welcome to the show.
You know, I was wondering what the hell I just walked into, but it went long enough that I kind of figured out what you guys were discussing. So I have one question for all of you, which is this. The next time an NFL game ends in a tie, are we going to transition to saying, it's like getting drafted in the NBA?
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. If we're normalizing kissing your sister on the lips, then I think so. There, Nick.
All right, I'm good with it.
All right, so...
But the record show, ties are also not sexual.
Right. Nick, is Kenny Pickett closer to starting week one or being cut or traded by the Browns?
Starting week one. I know it might not excite a lot of fans. Every time I run into somebody who wants to talk about this, they always insert Shador into the conversation. I think he is closer to starting than getting cut. And he's definitely, when they first acquired him, I believe that the process would leave him as the guy to get traded. And now that we've gotten to this point in the offseason, it seems as though he is the favorite to win the job. Now, of course, we have all of training camp to work through to really get to that point, but as much as people in this town love Joe Flacco for what he did for six or seven games a couple of seasons ago, I think the most likely option to start this season is Kenny Pickett, unless one of those rookies rises up and takes the job from him. And it seems like through minicamp and OTAs, neither of them did enough to make people believe that that's a possibility as of now. But we have the whole camp, so that's why I think Kenny's got a much better shot to start than anything else.
Nick, what do you make of the idea that so many different people believe, and listen, we've had people say Kenny Pickett, we've had people say Joe Flacco, we've had people say Dylan Gabriel, we've had people say just about everyone you can think of, but like they all quote these people inside the building or different players that they've talked to. I'm hearing so many different quarterbacks. I don't know what to believe now, Nick.
I think that's the allure of it, and that might be part of the intent, if you think about it. The idea that there is no favorite right now and that there is a wide-open camp competition allows the Browns to remain coy and then forces people like us in the media to seek out players. And those player opinions could also be driven by who they favor because of personality, because of personal relationship. There are a lot of different factors here. So until we get to the point where we get to a preseason game, that's the first time we're really going to know how things stand. And that could change by week. There's been quarterback competitions in the past. I think about Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, where they rotated who got the first snaps with the first team in a preseason game. So this is going to be a thing that we deal with for a while. I know it is late June. We're going to be talking about this in late July. We're going to be talking about this in late August, right before cut down day. It's going to be something we talk about for the next 2 months. And I think that's kind of the beauty of a camp competition, is that all these guys really do have a shot. It's just that we're not going to glean any real information unless you're there watching every rep every day. And then even then, it comes down to your own personal opinion. So ultimately, the decision is Kevin Stefanski's, but fortunately for him, he's got, you know, a couple months to sift through it all before making a decision.
Nick, I know you just put out your ranking each division by quarterback heading into the 2025 NFL season rankings. I'm not going to spoil anything for people because they can read the whole thing there on NFL.com. How much did the Browns tank the standing of the AFC North when the AFC North has Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow?
So much that I got angry tweets about it, or despondent tweets about it. So much that when I calculated the numbers, because I decided to throw a little math in it based on my final QB index ranking from last year, to just a bit of a scientific approach to it, to get away from all the narratives and, you know, the reputations and the hype and everything else. And I'm looking at it, and, you know, in alphabetical order, you go Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, Cincinnati, Joe Burrow. And I'm like, oh, baby, this is like two of my top three quarterbacks from last year. This is going to be the strongest division. Cleveland. Oh, God. So, you know, seeing that number drop down because of them, yeah, it tanked that whole division by far. Even Aaron Rodgers, kind of stabilized Pittsburgh enough because he had a nice back half of the season last year. So that ranking for the division, they'd be number one if it wasn't for the Browns, plain and simple. If they had Baker Mayfield of, and I don't mean to incite this whole conversation because the Baker Mayfield that the NFL knows now would never have been possible in Cleveland for a number of reasons that I'm not going to delve into. But if they had Baker Mayfield from 2020 and I could throw him in there, they would be far and away the best division in terms of quarterback ranking in the entire NFL. But because of the Browns situation, that is indeed what tanked the entire AFC North. To the rest of the division, I apologize, not on behalf of the Browns, but on behalf of what my own eyeballs tell me and the fact that I have to be honest with everybody.
PFF had the Browns D-line at 7. The Browns obviously released Oboe today, but the 7 part is what I want to stick with because if you have Myles Garrett, and obviously they invested in Mason Graham, like I feel like that should be one of the strengths of the team. And if that's the strength of the team and we're 7th, we got a long way to go, Nick.
Yeah. But honestly, that's going to be the narrative for the Browns this entire season. Their defense is going to be their strength. This is the story that we saw from them 2 years ago, even when they went through all that turmoil at quarterback and ended up with Joe Flacco. That defense was something that they could count on. It was the best defense in the NFL, created a ton of turnovers. It was incredibly effective at limiting opposing yards per game and at opposing points per game until it crumbled in the playoffs. That was the reason they were even in contention. And that is going to be the story for them this year. It's just that as a team overall, I don't think they're as good as that team was at different positions and especially offensively. So get used to this. They do have a long way to go. But I am, for the first time, honestly, in a few years, very encouraged by the state of their offensive line because they aren't just plugging gaps with one-year veterans plus Myles Garrett. Like the investment in Mason Graham, while I know a lot of people were upset that they didn't draft Travis Hunter, it was a smart decision. It was to trade back to 5, take Mason Graham, the best D tackle in the draft, at a position you haven't drafted at effectively in years, and also pick up that extra first-round pick to then address quarterback in the next draft. It was a genius move, as long as you give this regime the runway to execute it. And fans are, unfortunately, I hate to quell the hype and excitement because this is a football town, they are going to have to accept that this is their reality going into the season, and you hope for the best, but the best for them is flirting with 500.
Nick Shook, NFL Network, Cleveland Zone on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, breaking down the Cleveland Browns as we're inside roughly a month until training camp here. So kind of where you're picking up where you're leaving off there, anytime somebody isn't trying to win the Super Bowl, people automatically start using the T word, which is just, it's just not as prevalent now as it was even 5 years ago in the NFL. We have other euphemisms. We've got rebuilding, retooling, restocking the pond, restocking the cabinet. I've used the word auditing. I think the Browns are auditing the 2025 season, meaning if they get 6 games in and they're 5-1 and Joe Flacco's looking great, well, hell, we're going to give this a go. If they're 1-6...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think there's a logical thing that's going to play out as well. How would you describe the Browns' approach to the 2025 season?
Here's another A word, and I actually don't think it's going to stick because I don't think he's going to come out in the draft next year, but it could be abort for Arch as in Arch Manning, but I think he's going to play his last season at Texas and not coming out to the draft next year. But I actually like that idea a lot. Auditing is pretty accurate because it reminds me more of how baseball teams like the Guardians go into every season, which is, hey, we have this collection of talent and it could all come together really nicely and we can be in contention for the division and, make a deep playoff run like they did last year and be buyers at the deadline, or they could be sellers. Except in the NFL, they aren't necessarily sellers as much as they are evaluators and thus auditors of what they have on their roster, like you said, and specifically as it pertains to the quarterback position, because they drafted 2 guys. They have Kenny Pickett there. If they're not good, if they're 1-6, they have every reason in the world to try a different quarterback out. How does Dylan Gabriel react to the fire, being thrown into the fire? How does Shedeur Sanders handle it? How does Kenny Pickett handle it? We know what we have in Joe Flacco already. It gives you room to test out what you have and get a better understanding of your roster, which is why I think auditing is a great term to use, because they're exploring the depths of their roster. It's obviously hard to retain fan attention that way, yet in this town, people are often captivated by quarterbacks. So it'd give them reason to watch week by week. But I think that is probably the most effective way to describe how they're going to approach this season. And it may lead to some frustrating Sundays. And eventually they could get to the end of the audit and realize they have nothing, that none of these options are good. But they have those two first-round picks that they could use to navigate the draft. And if they're that bad, one of those picks is going to be worth a lot. And by the way, I don't think Jacksonville's going to be all that good either. So I think both those picks are going to be pretty valuable. So it's, you know, it's not a win-win, because if you don't win games, you don't feel like you're winning. But in the long-term plan, it is more ideal than other hopeless franchises have been in the past.
What part of Jacksonville do you not believe in?
I don't know if I believe in Liam Cohen as a head coach.
Duval.
Where's my hug energy out of that, by the way. I think that, you know, his 1 year of success with Tampa, while it was great, I don't know if that necessarily translates to head coach. I also don't ever see Trevor Lawrence taking the next step, both because he hasn't been able to stay healthy on the field, and he's kind of been the same guy for the last few years. I love what they have in Brian Thomas Jr. I love what they have potentially in Travis Hunter when they use him at receiver. But overall, as a team, I just don't see them achieving at the level that they would need to for that pick to come out of, like, you know, the top half of the first round. So it's like Travis Etienne, it was a trade rumor guy, and apparently they love him, or at least they've said they love him. But when Tank Bigsby finishes with more rushing yards than Etienne last year, that's a problem. There's been a lot of problems with that team. So I just don't think that they're going to end up being all that good. And I think that pick's going to be pretty valuable for the Browns.
Nick, if the Steelers last year were, 10-7 and a playoff team, with five games of Justin Fields and 12 games of cooked rust, I actually think with Aaron Rodgers that they're going to be just as good of a regular season team, if not better, and I can see them actually winning a playoff game this year. I think people are too down on the Steelers. Where are you on them?
I would agree. I don't necessarily subscribe to the notion that they believe they're in that much better of a place offensively this year as opposed to last year. That's been like the big sentiment coming out of Pittsburgh this spring, has been the Steelers feel so much better about their offensive structure entering this season than they did a year ago. And maybe a lot of that has to do with Aaron Rodgers, but it was kind of pitched as, we like our receivers and running back situation more. There's a lot of, you know, answers to that we still need when it comes to running back, because they let Najee Harris go. They have Jalen Warren. They have Caleb Johnson, who's a rookie out of Iowa. DK Metcalf, you'd think is an upgrade, but DK's last couple of years in Seattle, all he was like a go route guy. And they, you know, they didn't have a lot of explosive plays last year. I think they had two touchdowns and 30 plus yards through the air last year, which obviously was a microcosm of their offense and everything else. But like trading for a guy just to get big play touchdowns is kind of short-sighted. And trading George Pickens too, I understand why they did it. They had to maximize the value when they still could, but I don't necessarily feel all that much better about a receiving core with DK Metcalf, Calvin Austin in year two of Roman Wilson, who was one of my favorite guys coming out of the draft, but essentially had an ineffective, if not irrelevant, rookie season because he got hurt in camp. I'm not feeling that much more emboldened by what they have offensively. Yet, I do believe that what you said is true, that if they are who they were last year, generally speaking, and you add Aaron Rodgers into that mix, and he plays like he did in the back half of last season, and he plays without the pressure of having to prop up a mediocre franchise like he had to do with the Jets, the Steelers are the model of consistency. Mike Tomlin is a coach that nobody questions at this point. He's got all this, you know, a very lengthy resume. You can't question him. If all that comes together and the defense is effective, I think they'll be, yeah, just as good as they were last year, if not better. And I think that the whole reason they went after Aaron Rodgers is to do exactly what you just said, which is win a playoff game. Yes, it is a one-year thing. There is no plan beyond this year. But no team needs a playoff win more to wash the stink off of them than the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin right now. And if that is the goal, obviously, you know, winning a Super Bowl is everybody's goal. But if that is the real goal, I think they will achieve that this year. And that's about their ceiling.
Nick, great stuff, buddy. In 30 seconds, should the Cavs run it back?
Yes, but trade Isaac Okoro. Not because I hate him, but because he hasn't developed as a shooter and you have a better version of him in DeAndre Hunter. Figure out what you can get for him.
And do you also hate him?
No, I love him. You know, the guy does Pilates. Did you know that? Good guy.
I mean, that's how I judge my NBA players. Follow this man on Twitter, at TheNickShook. Nick, you're killing it, buddy. We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Love you guys. Appreciate it.
And then we gotta love you guys. We love you too, buddy. Like, not enough guests when they sign off are like, love you guys. Hey, anytime, guys. We get a lot of that. We get a, hey, thanks for having me. You guys are good guys. I love you guys.
Yeah, Pablo yesterday gave us an anytime. If it was a love you guys, we would have felt much better about it.
Well, anytime. I'll take an anytime.
Anytime's nice.
I can send that to him in audio form and say, you said anytime. Right? Put a little pressure on him. Love you guys. I can get anything I want. Nick Shook on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. NFL Network, great stuff with him. We'll react to what he had to say about the Browns. And we do have to get into the what does it all mean with the Cleveland Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.